This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is that time of week.
Hey.
A Fransky Friday on the Midday Show, sponsored by Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott with us as the Phillies get set for a big series this weekend,
Scott,
against the Diamondbacks. Scott, how are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Scott, this is the question I have for you. I've always told you every time we talk to you, you do a great job of framing every moment that I hear when I'm in the car with the Phillies. But my question for you is this, Scott. How hard is it for you when you see certain things that happen to kind of pull back what you kind of want to say? Because I feel a lot of times that in certain incidents that there are certain things you want to say, but you don't want to be too heavy-handed with your critique. So what is it? What process do you go through when you try to pull that back a little bit?
Well, I mean, I think you try to simply – I assume you're talking about managerial decisions.
Well, no, I mean, like, on, I mean, like stuff that has happened on the field. Yeah, I mean, we don't have – you know, we don't – you know, it's just – it's certain – like, let me just say this, Scott. It's certain times that when I hear you, because, like I said, you do a great job of painting pictures, that when you – your silence is deafening. You know what I mean? I just kind of wonder how is that moment for you?
Well, I mean, first of all, you realize what your job is, and your job is to tell people what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
My job is not to come on and have hot takes. I'm not there for hot sports opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there to describe the game. We are there to analyze the game to a certain extent. And by that, part of my job in that regard is to look at both sides of every coin.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at all the relevant angles of a particular play, it's really easy for us as fans to watch a game and say, that guy should have caught that ball. Well, no joke. He should have caught the ball, but he didn't. And there's a lot of reasons why he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a lot of people getting on Trey Turner this week. Oh, his throw was bad. He didn't step on the base. He didn't. Do you guys have any concept of everything that he has to check off in a split second?
Gotcha.
You're sitting on your couch watching it, reviewing it 100 times on video. There's a lot that's going on. Now, look, I'm not trying to say that by way of defending Trey. He's made mistakes, and it's not like the guy tries to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get better. And I actually firmly believe, I have watched every inning of every game, and Trey is a better shortstop now than he was a year ago. Period. Okay?
No.
He's doing different things with his throws, and mm-hmm. it's led to some bad throws, but he's trying to improve as a shortstop. And look, again, everybody can, you guys can say what you want, you know, company guy or whatever, but I am a company guy. I do work for the company.
I guess I'm considered a company guy too, Scott.
When Hugh defends the Phillies, we call him a company guy around here.
But you
literally are. That's okay. You're a Phillies employee.
But here's the deal. I still feel the need, if Rob Thompson makes the decision, what my job is in that moment is to say, here are the things he's probably thinking about.
Mm.
Here's one thing, here's another thing, here's another thing. And you know, I can't speak for Rob. He'll have to do that for himself after the game. My job in the moment is to only say, here are the different variables to a particular play or mm-hmm. a particular situation. And I spend time with the manager every day. I like the manager a great deal. And I am a firm believer in managers are managing the game, but they do not win or lose the game. By and large, players win or lose the game. This is how the game works. Charlie Manuel will tell you that. He's got more wins in Phillies history because you have really, really good players, right? Mm-hmm. and good players, and the players win the game, players lose the game. So, but my job in the moment is to simply, let's paint the picture, and that includes some good and some bad and some, you know, somewhere in the middle.
No, I respect that, even though I felt a little bit attacked when you talked about the guy on the couch, because that Scott, that's me.
Scott,
that's me. But no, you're right, and everything you're saying is right, because there's a lot that goes on, and I was always curious about, for you, how is it for you? And I appreciate that, because I think that a lot of times that people don't look at it like that. We're looking at it in a vacuum. So I totally appreciate that, but I do feel attacked a little bit.
Usually I'm the one attacking you. All right, Scott, let's get your thought on something that the Phillies are barreling towards, which is a decision in their rotation. So we know Ranger Suarez is back on Sunday, which is great, and he's healthy and ready to go. But, Scott, Taijuan Walker has pitched well. And look, these are good problems to have. I mean, it's always better to have more good starting pitching than less. So they have a surplus right now. And they also have a need down in the bullpen. Scott, I heard Taijuan after the game last night, and he said he's a starting pitcher, and he thinks he's pitched well enough to be in the rotation. I agree with him based on his performance so far this year. How do you think this plays out? Because the Phillies have said Rangers starting Sunday, but there's been no clarification after that.
Yeah. And I don't know when we may or may not get it today or the next day. I don't know. But I think there's a chance they'll go through every now and then with six starters. I really do. But I think if you examine the schedule, you know, for instance, there's an off day Monday, and then there's an off day the following Thursday. So it's not a crazy long stretch of games. Like, they just came through that game, that stretch of 16 straight. They would have loved to have had six starters available, I think, at that point. And because, again, they very much play the long view, and they very much err on the side of trying to keep guys healthy and fresh for the long haul. And I think, you know, some articles written this week, I think they proved that point, that they're really pretty good at managing the workload so that guys stay healthy. The fact they went through a whole month using only 13 pitchers is unheard of in today's game. So I do think, I mean, somebody's got to go to the bullpen. I do believe it'll be Taijuan. I don't know when that'll be. And I don't know how that looks, because then essentially you kind of have two long guys, right? Can one of them, Joe Ross, Taijuan Walker, can they be a leverage guy? You know, pitch one inning in the seventh with the game on the line. I don't know. I think the thing, you know, for any starter who turns reliever, if you want to be really used as a reliever, you got to learn to pitch back-to-back nights. Because if your stuff is not as good the second night, what good, you know what I mean? You're just not available. So I think that's going to be a learning process. I don't think it's the last start Taijuan Walker has made as a Philly. I think he'll be called upon again. I just don't know when that'll be.
You know, Scott, I'm kind of curious, because we've been having this conversation the whole week about this six-man rotation and everything. But I would like to assume that before you even make that decision, that you have to have a conversation with Zach Wheeler before this is even, you know, talked about publicly. Do you think that went on before we decided to go to the six-man rotation?
Well, I don't know that anything's been decided.
Okay.
As far as the six-man rotation. They discuss things with Zach, but Zach doesn't make that decision.
Okay.
He has preferences, and they are very good about trying to ferret out what those preferences are.
Yeah, because that's what, right? I was basically talking about, the extra days rest for him.
And they'd like to try to do that with everybody if they can,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't always work out like that. Sometimes you have to just pitch on the day they tell you to pitch. So that's, you know, like, he's getting a week off, basically, because of where they inserted Ranger. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, now you got Ranger pitching Sunday and an off day Monday, and so he doesn't go again until Tuesday. That's probably not his favorite thing, but that's the way they felt like it lined up the best and the way they wanted to do it. So,
gotcha.
So I don't think it's really like, well, we got to get clearance from Zach. I don't think it's anything like that.
Gotcha.
Scott, we've had a lot of different conversations so far this year about things that need to be better, whether it be the bullpen or obviously health now with all the starters and try to figure this out, and the leadoff spot. and Trey Turner, whether it be his offense or his defense. Scott, one thing that really, I don't think it's come up a lot, it came up on our show to start today, is Bryce Harper's performance so far this year. And by his standards, it's just well below what we usually see. His batting average in the 230s, his OPS under 800. Scott, what are you noticing? I mean, I feel like he's swinging and missing more, but when he hits it, I know you guys referenced the other night, the exit velocities are still good. He's still hitting the ball hard. Do you think this is just a slump, something more? What are you noticing with Bryce and his performance so far this season?
I think it's a little bit of a slump. I do think Bryce is seeing more breaking balls than he's probably ever seen in his life. And he will have to go through the process. I think he's trying to go through the process of making that adjustment. But to me, he looks like his timing is off. It looks like he's, you know, kind of jumping at things at the plate a little bit. I agree with you that if they're going to go where they want to go, they're going to need Bryce Harper to be Bryce Harper and match up to the back of his baseball card. He's not the only one we can say that about, but the reality is that this team is built around those guys. And, we can talk all we want about, you know, we've been down this road the last few years. You, the three of us talking about different players. This team is going to go because the superstars are going, because the superstars are playing like they should and producing like they should. Some of the stuff on the margins helps. It's nice. It's good. And you want to improve, and it makes you, you know, maybe tick up a couple of wins. But if you really want to get where you want to go, you need the superstars come through.
Yeah, so, there's no doubt about that. Scott, yeah. Before we let you go, we know this weekend you're going to be doing an event with the Philadelphia Youth Sports Collaborative. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, yeah, I'm actually here right now. It's going on in the background. They're kicking off their 10-year anniversary. They're having their 24-hour day of giving today. And if you don't know what PYSC is, I encourage you to go to pysc.org. They do amazing work, and they help fund a lot of grassroots youth sports programs across the city of Philadelphia to make sure there's equity in sports, and make sure that kids at every economic level, and in, like I said, every zip code of Philadelphia has access to youth sports, some kind of sport, basketball, baseball, football, hockey, you name it, you know, equestrian, whatever it is, they're out there trying to help fund those things. So go to pysc.org, and if you can donate, we would certainly appreciate it.
Great stuff, Scott. We appreciate you hopping on, and we'll check out the website, and glad you got to tell us about that. Scott, have a great day, and we'll be listening tonight. Big series against the Diamondbacks.
Appreciate you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
And Hugh, I wasn't saying anything about you being on the couch. Okay?
Oh, no, Scott.
He's
no,
just
Scott.
Sensitive because we're going
not,
after him.
I'm not
here.
Sensitive. I appreciate that because I think people need to hear that sometime, because that's a different perspective.
Yeah, it is. No, it's important.
That's a perspective from somebody that's there like every day. So I appreciate that. I do.
All right. Have a good weekend, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds
you
great.
As well.
There we go. Scott Fransky there attacking Hugh Douglas. No,
you know, it's funny because I always wonder, there's always, like, just like when we sit here and talk, Joe, we all have the fan perspective. And that's fine, and I understand that. But every now and then you need to hear from a perspective of somebody who knows exactly what's going on. And it makes perfect sense because we're sitting there and we're looking at the errors and everything, and we're like, oh, my gosh, because that was me. And I'm looking at him like, wow, that was ridiculous in that moment, because it's the moment,
yeah, of course,
coupled with everything else that's going on.
So Scott is totally right, and I think you're right, Hugh. It's good to hear that sometimes. Like, there's a lot going on there. Trey
yes.
Turner is not trying to mess up. He's not – and I think he does work hard. I've said that plenty of times. The other side of that, though, is it's his job to
yes.
do it well, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying it's easy. Like, I couldn't do it. Most, I mean, 99.9% of people in the world can't play shortstop at that level.
Yeah.
But, again, it's his job to perform at a good level. And although Scott, I agree with Scott, I thought the first 3 weeks of the season he played a better shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
The last week, he's had a tough run.
It's been tough.
Yeah.
It's been tough. And, no, it's one of those things, man. We're going to feel the way that we feel, and we're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beautiful thing about sports, especially here, because we're passionate fans, and you know, we're gonna always, you know, feel some type of way. I'm good with it.
It's the beautiful thing about WIP.
Beautiful thing.
We can
yes,
talk about shortstops and Delco Pooper all in
the
one day.
Delco Pooper. We didn't even ask Scott about the Delco. Well, it was a baseball save, but still, I was curious to see what he thought about the Delco.
You want me to text Scott about the Delco
Pooper? Ask him about the Delco Pooper.
Okay.
I forgot to ask him.
We'll get his thoughts on it. 215-592-9494.
Scott, the Delco Pooper, your thoughts.
I'm telling you, I just wonder if we didn't change the subject in the first segment, would it have gone the entire first segment?
I will say this.
I think
too.
The answer is yes.
Like it's unfortunate, but I'm going to keep, you know, I keep it a bean.
Yeah.
This is a bad reflection on women from Delco.
Oh, wow. All of them?
Well, because if I'm not mistaken, Devin's from Delco.
I believe she took the quiz on the afternoon.
I think
show.
She failed it too.
Yeah, she did fail.
Devin's from Delco. Mm. Devin,
a lot of WIP personalities are from Delco.
You're blanketing all Delco women because of one crazy lady?
Dude, that was beyond crazy.
That's like saying all men from Delco have anger issues because Kyle's screaming every day.
well, we do work with a few people from Delco.
We do.
And they do skew more like Kyle than not.
You're right about that.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You might be onto something.
Listen, I'm not trying to be racial. I'm not trying to say that, but it's a bad look for Delco, especially when we did this whole thing about Delco's a lot. Delco's a lot hit different now. It does. It's the fact.
They need to roll that campaign back.
They need to roll that back.
Yeah.
And Devin, if you're listening, she's probably busy. I'm not trying to. I'm not saying that. That's how you are.
Well, no, you kind of did.
Yeah, well, I'm pulling it back now. I can do
you're
that.
You're walking it back.
I'm walking it back.
It's
a
one thing
bit.
To do to Kyle. We do this every day.
Because doesn't it kind of make you kind of nervous? Because she did check me about not asking questions.
Yeah.
She is from Delco.
Yeah. You
kind of just look, yeah, a little bit.
Are you afraid of one of our coworkers?
Well, no, it was just, I've never seen her like that. Now, with the lady, you know, have you seen the pictures of the lady when they got her?
My algorithm's all over this, Hugh. Yeah, I've seen the arrest.
We'll play some audio from her later.
It's kind of make you wonder.
Yeah, we have audio from her coming up. All right, 215.
Get people from Delco sideways.
5-2-94-94. I did that anyway. All right, Aiden in South Jersey. What's up, Aiden?
What's up, Aiden?
Hey, how we doing? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Aiden. What's up?
We made it. All right. So I think I'm a little bit worried about Bryce Harper. Hugh said it good. He's just been flying under the radar because there's so many other problems that we're looking at. Trey Turner, the bullpen, Aaron Nola's start to the season. It's all been, you know, it's just been hectic. And hopefully it's just a little slump that he's going to overcome. Maybe he's not seeing the ball, but, I mean, last night, 3-pitch strikeout, he looks at 2 fastballs down the middle, breaking ball outside in the dirt, swings it, strike 3, he's out. I don't know, there's a lot going on here.
There is. So, Aiden, right before Scott was finished talking to us, he did mention Bryce is seeing more curveballs, breaking balls than he ever has before. So maybe that's part of it, that he's got to readjust because the league has adjusted to him. I looked up the numbers right when Scott said it. I mean, like half of the pitches he's seeing are not fastballs. Like no one's giving him fastballs anymore, so he's got to adjust. I mean, I think he can. I think he will, but it's obviously bothering him right now.
Yeah, my guess is just, he's up there just guessing. He's probably going through something in his head every time he's up there. And I don't know, maybe he's just not feeling it. Hopefully these swing coaches and the staff can help him out with something, but we'll see.
We shall. All right, Aiden, what's your mixed drink, your cocktail we should try?
No, this weather's got me wanting to golf lately. I'm going to go with a transfusion, but with tequila in it instead.
Transfusion with some tequila. See, that...
What's a transfusion?
How would you describe a transfusion, Aiden?
A transfusion, it's usually vodka, ginger ale or Sprite, and then a splash of grape juice.
Why be messing up vodka like that, putting all that other stuff in?
Well, because it's a cocktail.
Like
we're looking for cocktails. Aiden, it's a good one. Don't listen to Hugh.
Why are we diluting vodka? Why are we doing that to vodka?
No, you can
you're just against the concept of a cocktail
Aiden,
in general.
Good call. You could have multiple of these and have the same amount of vodka.
I mean, I just... Take the vodka.
I know, but again,
no. You're missing the point.
The concept is
no. I get it. Cocktail. I get it. I'm just like.
Well, but people like to have. They like variety. You know, you're the one that won't even try pork chops and apples. People like different flavors and variety in their life.
Yeah. Pork chops. Episode.
Didn't you agree to do that when you lost the...
I did, and I forgot I got it. Yeah.
You know what?
Oh, that's right.
We got to get a restaurant in the city to cook these up and bring
just make
them
the pork. Can we do a fried pork chop? It can't be no grilled pork chop.
I mean, you could have it any way you want, but applesauce...
I think
is
you're
going to
prefer it grilled with that, with applesauce.
I think Kyle's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Applesauce just enhances the flavor.
Well, I mean, if you put applesauce on a fried pork chop, it's going to like... It's Like, you mean like deep fried? Like,
yeah, like a deep fried.
That's going to ruin the breading.
Yeah, it's not going to.
I want like soggy.
It's not.
It's not going to go well together the way you want it to. You're right over there?
Yeah. Just thinking.
Okay. Just thinking. He was just here
to
think.
It's Cinco de Dos, man.
When it's Cinco de Dos, we're signing off. That's what we're doing at Cinco de Dos.
By the way, already some angry people who don't get it.
What, the Cinco de Mayo?
You know what's funny?
That they're like, can somebody tell Hugh?
He knows.
You know what's funny? Like, I get that there's a lot of people that are literal. Because I said something earlier. I said Trey had a bad week. I know he didn't. I know he hit the ball well.
He's hit a lot lately, yeah.
Yeah, he's hit a lot lately.
But defensively.
Somebody said, you had the bad. I said, okay, I understand. Is this your first time here? Like, seriously. This ain't my first rodeo.
Just everybody relax.
Yeah.
For real. It's a lot of literal people out there. Literally, like, don't take it so serious. It's a radio show. And we're here to entertain. Mm-hmm.
Ken in Cinemas is going to entertain us with his takes. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey,
what's
Ken?
Up, Ken?
First of all, I haven't heard it acknowledged anywhere on the radio station this morning, but Ed Bennett passed away last night. And anybody who's old enough to remember when he decked Valery Karimov in the 1976, Champion Cup Series, and that's what made the Russians walk off the ice until Ed Snyder threatened not to pay him. So, rest in peace, Ed. You know, those of us who remember you fondly. So,
you know what? I didn't hear that either. I'm glad you said it, Ken, so people out there could know that, because I didn't even see that myself. Thank you for bringing that that along. Ken, what do you got on Bryce?
Listen, I've been saying this for a long time, because it's been true for a long time, and the stats that you just kind of gave out that support what Franski said when he was on, this team can't hit spin. So my concern with Bryce is that, you know, I don't know why anybody would ever throw anybody on this roster a fastball. So, you know, I think Bryce is a professional enough hitter. He's obviously a good enough player to adjust to that, but he's adjusting to right now, seeing different pitching, different sequencing, and, you know, that's what the issue is. I don't think his bat has slowed down at all. The exit velocity off of his bat, which I'm not really a big believer in those numbers, but the exit velocity off his bat does indicate that he's still hitting the ball hard when he hits it hard. And at this point, part of it is just he's got to be pressing. I mean, this offense is so anemic. And this is not, you know, all we ever hear from Rob Thompson is, you know, we're going to slug. It's going to come. I mean, that's my vision of Rob Thompson is he just walks around mumbling this to himself like, you know, he's like my dad when he was 90 years old and had dementia. You know, he just like kind of walks around. We're going to slug. It's going to come. Like, I don't even know if he really believes in himself, but that's his entire approach to managing this baseball team. Runs are going to be hard to come by the entire year. And so, If this is the offense, and I think this is the offense, then, you know, this might be a down year for Bryce entirely, because he's going to be pressing all year to try and fill holes in this lineup that he can't fill as one guy with a bat in his hand.
Well, that part is concerning if it becomes in his head, right? Like, I think you're right. He'll adjust. I mean, eventually they're going to hang a curveball and he's going to blast it out, and hopefully that'll get him going. But if he's pressing, that's not helping anybody.
Well, and one thing that I haven't heard mentioned about Taijuan Walker, this is the best he's pitched since the Phillies signed him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he might actually be pitching himself into tradability. So if there's some value that can be gained from trading Taijuan Walker, I mean, he's been there's no other way to say it. He's been good. Aside from one inning, he's been good in 2025, and he might be pitching himself into tradability, which completely eliminates all the questions about what do we do with, you know, 12 starters on the roster, because everybody wants to be a starter.
It would be an outcome that I had never imagined, but you're right. Like, if he was on a different team and you're just like writing a list down of available potential guys at the deadline, and you just look at his numbers and all the metrics, you'd say, that guy looks like I'd take him to help my rotation. Ken, you're right. I hadn't thought about that, but maybe that's the way out of this situation.
You know, when you're talking about a fifth starter or even a sixth starter, depending on what teams are doing with their rotation, you know, if you're getting what he gave you last night out of a fifth or sixth starter at the back of your rotation, especially if you're one of these teams that's, you know, on the edge of making the postseason or not making the postseason, that could be a real asset for you. So I do think I don't have any faith in Dave Dombrowski, but I do think he's pitching himself into tradability.
Yeah, I agree. All right, what's your cocktail? We know you're a wine guy, but what's your cocktail we should try?
Well, I'm not just a wine guy, and I know Hugh's a bourbon guy, and I think Hugh will appreciate this one. I picked this one up in Napa, ironically, at a very cool bar called The Fink. It's called a Brennan's Old Fashioned, and it's real simple. I make them at home. What you do is, Hugh, you take some regular old bourbon, you slice up some bananas that are just past ripe, so they're just starting to brown up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You slice up some bananas, you put them in the bourbon, you put some brown sugar, maybe a tablespoon of brown sugar in the bourbon, you put the bottle in the freezer, and you freeze it until that solid stuff all comes to the top, which will be like 3-4 days, depending on what temperature you keep your freezer at.
Okay.
You take that out, you skim that off, and then you strain it through a fine strainer or, you know, something like that. And then the Brennan's Old Fashioned is just like 2-3 fingers of that, a one bar spoon of simple syrup, and a dark cherry, like a bourbon cherry, and it is out of this world. It tastes like bananas Foster in a glass. It is out of this world.
That sounds really good.
Yeah,
yes, it does.
That's unique. Ken, we appreciate that. That sounds really good. 215-592.
He said Brennan's Old Fashioned.
Brennan's Old Fashioned.
Brennan's
yep.
Old Fashioned.
215-592-9494. Where are you at on Bryce? He's down. I mean, compared to where he usually is, his stats, his season so far, big error last night, frustrated, concerned. Or are you not worried? Where do you come down on Bryce? Your cocktail suggestions for Tri-Day for Hugh Douglas. And if you missed it, we'll replay a couple things on Bryce about his approach and mentality right now. That's next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the first sportsbook app where you can bet the Kentucky Derby. Right now, all customers get a no-sweat Derby bet. That means you'll get racing bonus back if your bet doesn't win. The app is super easy to use, and you don't have to be a horse racing expert to get in on the Derby Day X. So bet America's number one race with America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to get a no-sweat bet for the Kentucky Derby. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official part of 94 WIP. I guess I'm the Hakuna Matata guy today. Not worried. Not yet.
It means don't worry for the rest of your days. I forgot the rest of the words.
It's their problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
It's not a very long song, but it's a good one.
I've done better. That's all I ask for, progress.
Yeah, every we're day. Just trying to get better every single
every day.
We're
just trying to get better.
That's 1% better every day. 215-592-9494. Where are you at on Bryce Harper here? It is our Twitter question as we wonder where everyone comes down on the Phillies first baseman who clearly has not played up to his standard so far this season. And you said it earlier, he's right, it's fallen under the radar, but it's obvious now. I mean, we're over a month in. I mean, it's May 2nd. What do we call it today? Dose something?
Cinco de Dose.
Cinco de Dose. 5-2. Or,
it's a new midday show holiday.
Cinco de Dose.
Tell Rod next year we're not coming in.
Cinco
new holiday.
Dose.
It's Cinco de Dose. It's what? It's 5-2. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Which best describes how you're feeling about Bryce Harper right now? We rarely see a split like this between a few options. Frustrated, 33%. That's Hugh Douglas. Concerned, 36%. That's Kyle. Not worried, that's me, 31%. Look, I am leaning more. If I had to pick one of the first two options, I'd say more frustrated than concerned. But I'm not worried about his play. The body language stuff does bother me. I'm with you guys on that. He needs to be better. He needs to start tonight. Where do you come down? Before we go back to the phone lines on this, and of course, Tri-Day for cocktails, let's hear from some people around the team a lot about Bryce Harper. Let's start with Devin, who covers the team here for us, covers the Phillies for WIP. What she's observed with Bryce around the team lately.
Honestly, Bryce Harper is the most concerning to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't think it's anything, you know, health-wise or physically, but he...
It could be, though. I mean, the back, the whole thing, you know?
I mean, he briefly spoke to us two days ago, I should say, and, like, it was just a very stilted, dry, like, he did not seem to want to give anything away in terms of, you know, information, personality, how he was feeling, just like 2-3 word answers. And I don't, that concerns me. I understand people don't, like, the media is not their best friend, but the fact that he wasn't even willing to divulge, like, what made you bunt in that game.
Totally.
Hugh, that caught your attention early in the show, you know, Devin's story about kind of just short answers, his demeanor when asked questions.
Yeah, because if she noticed it, guess who else notices it?
His teammates.
Yeah. And that's the thing that you have to guard against. And you have to, like the kids say, you got to keep the same energy, man. Mm. You know, when it's going bad, I was always told, and it went bad when I was in New York, you always got to be front and center. And you always have to ask or answer the tough questions. You can't run away from it because people see that. And they draw conclusions from that. And the biggest conclusion that you draw from it, whether it's right or wrong, oh, well, he's a front runner. Because that's the first thing I thought about. Like, you look at that pitching performance that Taiwan Walker gave us last night. That's good enough to win.
Absolutely.
That's good enough to win. And, you know, you don't want to just point out the error that he had at first base, anything like that. But your bat has been eerily quiet. And then you couple all of that with the fact that when you're asked questions, you're short. You're upset, like you're angry. We get it. It's tough. I mean, I've been there. Like I said, I played New York for 3 years. It's tough to sit there and have to answer questions when you don't have the answers, or you try to explain something to somebody who doesn't have the bandwidth that you have to understand what we're going through. Like, that's why I commend Scott for breaking it down the way that he did, because I'm a fan. I like the Phillies. But there's a lot that goes on that I don't know about. Mm-hmm. And I respect that. But still, at the end of the day, as fans, we don't have all of the information that you have. So we only draw our conclusions from what you show us.
Right.
And when you show us that, that's not a good look, especially when it's going bad. So you have to sit there and you have to be that man that stands front and center, even when it's bad.
You know, I might change my take. I wasn't worried until Hugh compared the situation to your Jets teams. I mean, you guys could barely win a football game.
No, but it's one of those things where you sit there and you say, well, you guys can't score or you can't stop anybody. I'm like, yeah.
You couldn't.
You know, it couldn't stop. Couldn't, like what they say, the defense was a sieve. Hmm. And it's like, yeah, you know, but you got to keep fighting. You got to keep. I mean, and I know it's the cookie cutter answer that you give. But it's better than being short and letting people interpret that something's wrong. Mm. You know what I mean? Because that's what – Devin's doing her job, and she does a great job. Though she's from Delco, and she might, you know, be affiliated with the Delco pooper. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway. But, no, she's doing her job. So her job is to go into the locker room and assess the situation the best that she possibly can with the information that's given to her. So when she sees that in his demeanor – what is she supposed to do? I mean, that's every fan that watches baseball.
Of course.
So what is she supposed to do? So it's you can't do that because it leaves us to recklessly speculate about what's going on.
Absolutely. I'm sorry if I'm distracted.
You're fine. You're looking up them stats.
I pulled up the 96 Jets. Oh, my God. You guys were bad. 1-15. You allowed 28.4 points per game.
Yeah, it was bad.
Shockingly, it was Rich Kotite's last run as head coach.
Yeah, it was bad, man.
Oh, my Lord. 1-15. You're over-under for the season. Win total was 6. You were under by 5 games.
Yeah, it was.
You guys got rocked every single week.
Oh, no, it was bad, man. And can you imagine that year? That was my second year. It was tough. But the only saving grace was that nobody cared. The only people cared was on Monday. Like, being in Hofstra, like, there were so many other things going on in New York. Nobody cared. So it was like, hey, except when you went out and you tried to go somewhere, you play for the Jets. Who are you again? Like, nobody knew.
You're on that team?
You play for the Jets.
You guys suck.
They don't know who he is.
The most famous Jet that I can remember at that time was Fireman Ed. Like, seriously.
That's sad.
Like, jokes aside. Think about that.
You know,
like,
I interviewed Fireman Ed once?
You did?
Yeah. He's very arrogant.
I believe it because, yeah, like
was.
I said,
very arrogant.
He's the most famous Jet.
So when I first started doing radio when I was young, I was on a station that had the rights to the Jets. It was a small station. But somehow, they're like, you want Fireman Ed as a guest? And I didn't really. But, like, I just said, oh, sure. I didn't really want to talk to him. But I said, sure.
Dumb Fireman Ed on you.
And he was very arrogant about, like, how important he was. And I'm like, you're just a fan.
What a dork.
He was totally.
The 1-15 season probably helped him with that, you know, the forming of his arrogance.
His ego, yeah.
Yeah, because
he was the most famous
on TV. He had more highlights than we had.
That was your fault. You were part of that.
It was my fault.
Well, you didn't help.
I was trying.
You didn't try hard enough. You guys gave 484 points. All right, 215-592-9494. Also, Bryce, we're trying to figure out what's wrong with the swing. Listen to this, because Bryce usually has got that swing down, and he feels good about himself. Obviously does it, considering he'll take advice from anyone in a Phillies uniform. Here's Taryn Hatcher, NBC Sports Philadelphia, the other night during the game, explaining Bryce and what he was doing pregame.
There was a lot of work done yesterday and coming into today to try to fix certain things with Bryce's spring, namely with his swing, pardon me, namely his timing. I was talking to Kevin Long ahead of today's game. He said, look, yesterday he had an exit velo of 98, 102, and 105 on three balls that were fielded out last night. He got his hit on a bunt, which is a good sign for things to come because his timing's not there. Everything's too quick. When he's moving too quick, when his motions are too quick, he's not seeing the ball as well. He's expanding his strike zone. He's very communicative with the hitting staff about what he's feeling and seeing in his swing. So they actually went through a circuit today where all of the hitting staff got to pick a drill and Bryce got to pick a drill, and they went through each drill. Each one was focused on timing. It was a different drill meant to slow Bryce down.
Yeah, he's clearly not feeling right at the plate right now. The numbers reflected. Big error last night. Where do you come down on Bryce? 215-592-9494. Terrence in Springfield is up on WIP. Hey, Terrence.
Yo, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man? What's up? Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime, hey, Terrence. What's up, buddy? What are you feeling?
I told Kyle, first of all, I want to say, man, that guy I had on the other day, that doctor guy, that guy is hilarious, man. I was laughing like, I was in my work truck, and I was laughing for like 10 minutes.
Well, I'm tired of Dr. Karp, so I'm hoping Kyle doesn't take those calls anymore.
I don't know where you found this guy at, but oh my gosh, it was hilarious.
He's useful.
Yeah, he's probably Delco, considering what's going on down there. Go ahead, Terrence.
All right, man. I'm worried about Bryce. I feel like, if you want to explain Bryce Harper, the end of last year and this year, it's average or below average. And to me, man, I hope it's not about the contract. I hope it's not none of that. But if you think about this, man, the decline of the Phillies has all been on Bryce Harper's watch. And you can say he's the captain of the team. He's the GM of the team, whatever you want to call it. But he's the centerpiece of this team, and this team goes as Bryce Harper goes. So if this guy's in a slump, he he's the leader. Like, Schwarber shouldn't be alone at the top. Of home runs and all this stuff. Bryce Harper, last time I recall, this guy was a slugger. I know he had a couple of injuries and all that. But if you ask me, man, like from Washington, maybe Bryce Harper was just a star and not a superstar coming from Washington, and that's why Washington traded him, because the Phillies, if you think about it, they are what they are. And if this guy's not going to be able to hit curveballs, the book is out on these guys. If the whole team, when it comes to playoff time, the pitchers already got the book on these guys, and they know what they're going to swing at and what they can hit and what they're going to do. And to me, that's concerning, because if Bryce Harper is slumping right now, and if we get to late May and into June, that's going to be concerning, because who else is going to step up? Baum ain't stepping up. Stott is okay. Like, the rest of this lineup is like hitting-wise and bringing in runs, they're average, and it's not going to cut it in baseball. And we know that. And like I said before, the Mets ain't going nowhere.
Mm-mm.
So to me, I don't know, Bryce Harper, the pandering stuff, I know that's all out the window. But Bryce Harper, sometimes you have to look in the mirror. And you got 6 years left on your deal, man. You shouldn't be worried about no money right now, bro. Like, that, to me, that's giving greedy at this point. And you haven't done nothing to earn that contract.
Well, not enough, and certainly not so far this year, Terrence. I mean, his play, considering what he usually does, is so far below what we're usually expecting here. Terrence, what do you got for us for a cocktail we should try?
Oh, man, I had this drink before, and it's to me, it's right up Hughes Alley. It's the, I don't know if you guys had it before, the Gold Rush.
The Gold Rush?
Gold Schlager?
What is it?
No, it's Gold Rush. It's 2 ounces of bourbon, 3-4 ounces of lemon juice, freshly squeezed, 3-4 ounces of honey syrup on the rocks, and a twist of lemon.
So the lemon and the honey syrup with the bourbon. What do you think of that, Hugh?
It sounds pretty decent.
I like that one. Terrence, good phone call. People are trying to appeal to you with the bourbon. We got a lot of bourbon.
Yeah, they're trying to do
so
the
far.
Bourbon thing. Yeah, but they know, like, I'm a... The drink Ken had is interesting.
The
I
one,
will say
one
that
you with freeze the bananas it up and, with
yeah,
the bananas.
Yeah, because it's like... It's not so much watering the drink down. you know, when you're doing
all
the freezing
stuff. It's enhancing
stuff.
It.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, it's more of a flavor enhancer.
Yeah.
The other ones, all I feel like when you talk about that is the longer that drink sits there, the more the ice, you know, violates the bourbon.
Is that the word?
Yeah, that's the word I want to use.
I know, you used it. I never heard that about ice before.
Yeah, it's like, it's water in the drink now.
It's cutting it. It's cutting it.
Yeah, it's cutting it. Yeah, I don't want that.
Well, I get it. You don't want to cut the good part of it.
Bourbon is not cheap, dog. And for me, to add ice is to take away from the strength.
Well, you got to drink it quickly. That way you don't worry about it. Or you just have multiple drinks. I mean, you can do it either way. All right, let's go to Rob in Delco. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Joe. Hey,
what's going on, man?
Rob, what's up?
Listen, I got a drink for you at the end, but I keep mine real simple. Listen, do you think the Delco pooper, you think she had a clean break, you? You know what I mean? That's what I hope.
She did not have
a
clean break.
I don't know.
She did not have a clean
break. What if she's single, Hugh? Maybe I can look into that.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I was wondering, how does your family feel about that?
If you bring her around or like?
Well, no, the fact, like I'm talking about, I'm assuming now. She got kids, a husband.
I don't know.
She's at mid-40s. It looked like mid-40s from what they said.
How would you feel if it was part of your family? You'd be embarrassed.
No. Well, I'd be like, if it was, okay, for instance, like, I'm sorry, Rob, we're here.
If it was Harper's mom,
yeah,
I'd be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's what you say to anyone.
She'd be like, what is really wrong with you? And when she decided to explain it, I'd be like, dog, you probably need to go talk to somebody.
Yeah, no, you can't. There's a lot of things you could explain away. The Delco pooper, you can't. I mean, that's just, like, if you swung on someone, I could easily forgive that. Like, you had a bad moment, you got violent, you shouldn't have. But we can't be doing this.
It's about 5 or 10 minutes from me, too, Joe.
Rob, you better be careful. You might run into that lady. Don't you get yourself in trouble.
Listen, I got a car wash thing, so I get my unlimited wash.
The person with that car that better needed an unlimited wash. Go ahead, Rob.
Listen, I kind of got a radical thing before I get to my drink with the Phils. Now, just hear me out, okay? I don't mean to be jumping the gun here, but I'm looking short-term and long-term always at the same time, okay?
You like Howie Roseman. Yeah.
Just like Howie, exactly. You've read my mind. See, there you go. We're starting to see the decline of Bryce Harper, okay?
Ooh.
First point is, thank goodness we didn't give in to his kidnap demands of wanting a new contract, okay? I love him. You know what I mean? Joe, doesn't mean I love him any less. Just no way in hell I'm giving him whatever he wanted. A 2-3-year extension, 4-year extension, whatever he wanted in his late 30s going into 40, early 40s. Come on. I mean, you've shown this since the All-Star break, the numbers, right? I mean, you don't need to rehash them. We've seen what those numbers are. And listen, I'm not going to get him on him for the one error last night, even though it was a big error. It happened. You know what I mean? Also, he's been a great defensive first baseman. He's made that adjustment seamlessly, you know? So I'm not going to get on him for that. But would you consider, Hugh, okay? Give me a percentage before I get to my drink, okay? Well, Joe, Dylan Harper, at the end of this year, offseason, if it really starts to go bad and we get rid of Boehm, and Marsh and Castellanos, and we don't re-sign Schwarber, would you consider starting to blow this thing up?
So, yeah. I mean, I'm just – I'll answer it simply. Yes, I would. Now, there's different levels to blowing it up. Like, Boehm, you know, I'll trade him for peanuts tomorrow. Right. Get him out of here. But, when you get to Wheeler, you get to Harper, I mean, these – because then it changes your chances to win in even the next 3 or 4 years. Like, it'd be a full-blown, no-questions-asked rebuild. I mean, I hope we don't get there. But, Rob, if they have a season where they miss the playoffs, they're going to have to go one or two ways. They're going to have to buy their way out of it this offseason and go get a Kyle Tucker, or they're going to have to change the whole thing up, and maybe that's a rebuild.
To me, it's like that, Hugh. It's 50-50. Either you try to reload again next year or you blow it up.
Yeah, you got to be all in or all out. Yeah, because they've tried this baloney of not doing anything and just running it back.
Yeah.
And it looks like it looks like a watered-down version of the last couple of years.
It's not bad. It's not going off the rails yet.
No, it's not bad, but it's not great.
It's not great.
All right, Rob, what's your cocktail?
All right, well, thank goodness. At least the Delco pooper. She had this drink in her system. Who knows what would have happened? I'm going to go back to my child, because we're around the same age, you. I'm in my early 50s. Mad Dog. Just get a bottle of Mad Dog from the liquor store and sit in the backyard.
What flavor, though?
Mad Dog. Grape cherry.
Ugh. Grape cherry.
That bring back bad memories.
Classy. I like it, Rob. Appreciate the phone call.
That bring back bad memories.
When's the last time you had Mad Dog?
I remember it was a long time ago. I was in high school. And I remember we were going to a party, and the party got canceled. Mm-hmm. So I had to go home drunk. Boy, that dog did not hunt. Mm-mm. Big Hill had a fit. But I do, I do. This is back when ass whoopers were a thing.
Yep.
I'm glad I had that mad dog in my system because I didn't feel most of it.
Yeah, it cut it down a little bit.
I'm just saying, that's back, you know, all I remember is like, he was like, oh, no, he didn't come in my house drunk. Like, I was like, that was the one time, it was the last time I had a drink.
Yeah.
But I was glad that I had the mad dog in my system.
So that wasn't a Vaseline day?
Because that ass whooping, boy, that thing right there. Like, a lot of these kids don't know what an ass whooping is. No,
times have changed.
Ooh, boy, that one right there was one to remember. That was one for the books, the record books.
Well, I mean, it's 2025. You're talking about it on your radio show, so. That lived with you.
No, that's when you said it. When you said mad dog, that's why I immediately went back to that moment.
What was your flavor of choice?
I think it was the grape? It was nasty. No, it was the orange.
So I was a blue raspberry when I had it.
Yeah, it was. But when you, it's funny because when you get older and you finally realize, like you look back on some of the things you did, Mad Dog was the absolute worst.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible.
Thunderbird, and it was another one that people used to drink. But I remember we used to call it Thunder Chicken, but it was a Thunderbird. Yeah, those were the bad drinks, man. Bad drinking.
What was the one? I haven't had it since college. The Colt 45.
Boone's Farm? Remember Boone's Farm?
The Colt 45 I'm talking
Colt
40, about.
Yeah, Colt 45.
The malt liquor.
I went to an event one night recently, like about a year ago. They had Old English.
Old English?
In a can. And I got one for nostalgia purposes.
How was that?
It was okay. I mean, it's like every now and then, man. You just have what you go back down memory lane. But
yeah.
The mad dog, no, I'm not trying to.
If you guys wondering what Hugh's doing on Cinco de Mayo week in a little Old English this weekend for Hugh. All right, 215-592-9494. This hour on 94 WIP's fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. All right, we're going to get everyone's calls up here in the 1 o'clock hour. I'm Bryce Harper. Are you concerned? Frustrated, not worried. Where do you come down on Bryce? He is not playing well at all to start this season so far. Plus, we'll hear from the aforementioned Delco Pooper and another arrest that became public knowledge last night. So a lot to discuss. 215-592-9494. But the only place you can hear from the Delco Pooper right here next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Summer is better with True Green, especially at a price this low for a limited time. Get 75% off your first treatment and enjoy your lawn without overspending. With True Green, you get expert care and a plan tailored to fit your lawn's needs so it looks its best while you save big. Let the pros handle the hard work while you enjoy the results, relax more, and keep money in your pocket. A great lawn has never been this easy or this affordable. Sign up now at truegreen.com. Restrictions apply.